Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
My children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. I'm still under the weather, so my voice is going to be going in and out tonight, and I apologize. I want to give a huge shout out to Demetrius Bledsoe as we're going into dual syndication in the Philippines. So welcome to the Philippines, I guess, people. You know, we're going to conjoin and we're going to move forward and growing the show and sharing the fighters even that much more worldwide. I have a tremendous guest tonight. And I've had him on before, but I'm so intrigued about this last fight, because I think it defined him. But the only way we're going to find out is to truly ask him. So, with that being said, Dakota Cochran, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, it's my honor, brother. You know, I got to say, your last fight against Vogel at BKFC 15, brother, it was truly a pivotal moment and a defining moment, really, per se, because, I mean, you've beat two legends in bare knuckle already, but this fight had a different aspect to it. What did it mean for you to go out and perform like you did and show the world that you're cemented in bare knuckle fighting championships?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here to stay, and I'm here to take over. So whether it's a newer fighter or an older fighter or a legend, doesn't matter. I'm gonna come out there and I'm gonna swing for the fences.
Oh, yeah, you know, and you truly did. You know, we know this analogy in baseball. You know, and in boxing, when you hit the sweet spot, you know, you kind of just, you don't even run for first base. kind of know it's out of the park. Was that what? Take us to that moment when you hit Vogel, when he left his, I guess his left side completely open. I mean, take us through that moment. You know, how much of you did you instill into that punch?
I try to throw everything into, you know, all my punches, and that was just one that I had to reach pretty far for. So I'm a short guy, so, you know, I got to stay out, all the way outside or all the way inside, and that was the moment where I seen him look away. I had a split second to make a decision, and I reached as far as I could, and I tried to knock him out, but obviously my feet weren't underneath me, so I didn't get as good of a hit as I would like. But I think it was effective.
Oh, yeah, very effective. I got to say, I've probably watched that clip probably 15, 20 times, and that's a rarity for me. But, you know, Dakota, I've been a fan of yours for a long time. You know, Bellator and other promotions, you know, have kind of taught you the ropes, gave you the edge, the perspective that you needed in the sport. And then here comes bare knuckle, something not new, but new to this era, the rebirth of. What would you say was the truest aspect that defined Dakota Cochran as you stepped into bare knuckle? Because as we spoke about earlier, you've already beat Hendricks, you beat Chris Lee and the Crippler. You've dominated in the sport so far. So how would you say you created yourself from the world of MMA into bare knuckle? What truly inspired you?
Well, truthfully, I like to compete, whether it's lifting weights or fighting MMA or playing a game of football or whatever it is. I just truly love to compete, and bare knuckle just gave me another opportunity to compete in a different sport. And there was quite a few people, you know, behind me that thought I would excel and do pretty well, and they thought basically this sport was made for me.
Let me rephrase the question a different way. When you look back at Dakota Cochran when you were in Bellator and LFA, RFA, and all that, how differently do you look at yourself now in the world of bare knuckle? What transition as far as fight IQ, as far as ability? Because you seem to be more productive now in this sport. So would you say that bare knuckle, if it had came along earlier in your career and you had taken that route, that would have been the sport that defined you?
No, I think everything I've done in the past has made me the man I am today. So I believe all my battles and all my fights have, you know, helped me with becoming the fighter I am today. I don't feel like I would be the same if I started right away. I think my, like you said, my fight IQ is definitely higher than I was back in when I was younger. I would just try things and make stupid mistakes, and here I still try things like that punch that you've seen, but I make sure it's a little more calculated and where, you know, it's not as big of a risk.
You know, 2020, as we spoke before the show, before we went live, we can't put anything past this year, homie. But not to focus on the negative side, but how much more would you say that 2020 has made Dakota Cochran man up, realized that life is uncertain, life is hard, especially a man with a family. So how has it changed you, the year of 2020?
Yeah, as far as, you know, providing for my family, I've been struggling to try to get a fight all year. So, I you know, you really couldn't lean on fight as a main income or even like a secondary income. So you had to like just basically focus on my business and really try to push and excel and I guess increase my cash flow with my business and making sure that excels as much as possible. That way my family can eat good and I can, you know, have a roof over the head and provide. That's really what makes me happy. Making sure my personal life is provider and making sure my family's taken care of.
Amen, brother. That's, you know, sometimes young people just don't understand it. And I think society today really doesn't get a reflection of the past, but I think you understand it, and I think you get it. You know, we all change. We all grow. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Hell, we don't even know what's coming 10 minutes from now. But when Dakota Cochran looks over his shoulder and you look back, you get a brief glimpse in the path you've traveled, what do you see, brother?
I see a guy that's put his whole heart into taking care of family and working as hard as he possibly can to provide. So, like I said, that's truly what makes me happy is making sure I have everything that I need for my family. And as far as career-wise, I'm happy with my career because I don't care who you are. I'm going to go out there and try to kick your ass, whether you're young, old, ranked number one or ranked number 1,000. I don't care. I'm gonna put the fight to you.
See, bottom line, you just want to be the BKFC champion. No ifs, ands, or buts. Yeah, I love you, bro.
For sure.
You know, we talked earlier, like I said, and we talk about people that really deserve to get praise in the sport, but don't get it. And I feel you happen to be one of those fighters. You know, my perception may be wrong, my thought process may be wrong, but it's like you said, you're a individual who strives to be the best, gives it 110. Do you feel that you didn't get the opportunity in the MMA world that you know, truly deserved?
You know, I do think I got plenty of opportunities. I just didn't capitalize on them when I did have them. You know, I don't have the luxury of training full time like most of the fighters do. I work. I have a full time job and I train. So I think like Vogel, for instance, you know, he trains full time and has that opportunity to get better at all times. And, you know, even I'm training, I'm still getting better. It's just sometimes it just wasn't. I would make a stupid mistake, and you know, at that moment, it was kind of devastating on my career when I did make mistakes, but. Now, like I said, I've gone through all those trials, and I'm past all that. I'm ready to excel.
Yeah, most definitely. Fatherhood changes you, makes you grow up real quick, don't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, my show always talks different. We'll get back to sports in a second, but you know, throughout the show so far, you know. Every aspect has reflected back to family, you know, as it should. Becoming a father is a special aspect in life. You know, I have my own son. He's 34, but I never knew my dad. So, well, I knew him, but I don't know him. You know, when you do get that opportunity at home, you know, I know it means the world to you. You know, and life is such a cherished thing. So when you look at the family values, your love for family, you know, how much more hearted and how much more determined does that make somebody like Dakota Cochran comparative to, you know, a kid that's 21 and has no kids? What is it about family that truly makes you a man?
For me, I want to be a good example on my kids, my boys, my daughter. I want to be someone where they can look at and be like, hey, my dad, if he lost that fight, he didn't quit. He gave it his all no matter what. And then if I win, you know, I want them to see, hey, that he had a tough fight, but he never quit. He put it on him and finished hard in the last round. You know, that's something that I can show my kids while I'm in the fight. You know, I may lose to a better fighter or sometimes not a better fighter, but they know I'm going to go out there and give my 100%, and that's going to transfer in their life if they give whatever they're focused on 100%. And I think that's what really drives me to finish a fight, finish strong, finish hard, is so I can tell my kids later on in their life when they're struggling or having a difficult time, like, hey, you gotta go at this 100%. If you're not, then you can't blame anybody else but yourself. So that's something that I think about quite often.
That's deep, bro. You know, you had a sensational outing. I know you're not one to pick a fighter. I know you'll fight anybody, but it's getting to be slim pickings up there for you. You've, like I said, you've pretty much been devastating ever since you went into BKFC. But if you had an opportunity to put a name on a piece of paper, who would that be, bro?
I would say Hector Lombard or Thiago. I want those big time fighters. I want the big names, and I want to show people that I'm tough as hell, and I'm gonna be hard to reckon with.
Agree with Matt. Thiago would be dope. I think Julian Lane actually won that fight. You know, that's just my own opinion, but, you know, I'm just a photographer and a radio show host. What was that, bro?
Well, that matters. That definitely matters.
Yeah.
But you beat the judges
Julian,
are not always right, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you beat Julian. Julian was a world champion in the UK. You know, that's why there's so many layers to your story already. But, like, actually, the guest coming on my show after you, Derek Minner, you guys are very close. And you, I guess you could say you're true brothers. What was it like for you guys? Because I know you guys have been around, but what was life like for you three when Joe Ellenberger was still around?
Yeah, Joe was a good mentor. He's a great training partner, great dude. I think he kind of helped us, you know, when we were young, and he kind of helped shape us or mold us, you know, at a young age. Joe helped me tremendously with my wrestling. Like, he's he's a very technical, he's like a technical technician guy, and he really helped me with my technique in wrestling, and I was just a guy who goes and I'm going to try to double leg you, and you know, he really helped me with my skills for sure. As far as Derek, I think, I guess I'll have him tell you, but like I said, I just feel like he was a great dude to look up to and someone who I'll be indebted to, because he's the one that got me in MMA, and I love that he did, and I appreciate everything he's kind of helped me with along the way. He's been in my corner, whether he's actually in my corner or not, he's been there since day one.
And that's what truly matters, relationships in the sport. See, everybody sees what they see on TV or what they see on the internet or what they read. They take that as the sport. But that's truly not the sport. Sport is relationships. How can you go into the cage or on the mat or the squared circle and go to war with somebody, make each other bleed, and not walk away friends? You know, but it's the relationships that make the fighter. Would you say relationships were the most pertinent part of the creating of Dakota Cochran?
Yeah, for sure. I have some of the best people I've ever known through MMA or through fighting. Once you find good people, I kind of like hold on to them because I keep my circle small. I'm a pretty trusting guy, pretty honest guy. So, like, if someone breaks my trust, and I kind of keep my distance and know that I shouldn't trust them, you know, or if I don't feel like you're being 100% honest or real with me, then I just won't put much effort into it. So, yeah, being real and 100% is key for me in relationships, and I've just found a lot of good people that I keep in touch with still today.
You know, Dakota, you're cementing your name in history. You know, as bare knuckle this rebirth, they're 15 or whatever so fights in, and the world is just now getting to enjoy this aspect. You know, it's not like the UFC or other promotions that have been around for 15 to 20 years, and it's an opportunity for you to write your name in history, and you're doing so, my friend. But more importantly, you're leaving behind a legacy for your family to look back, to cherish, to hold on to. But Dakota, if you had to write your name, write your thoughts for your kids, family members, or even just future generations of athletes or aspects of life, to open up that time capsule years from now and get a thought into the, you know, who Dakota Cochran is, what would that statement say?
Oh, that's a tough one. No. like I said, I was not blessed with superior athleticism or, like, skills, so I had to work hard at a lot of my skills and my abilities. A lot of hours in the training room, working out, lifting, you know, trying to get better as an athlete in a whole. So all I want, like, for my kids or my legacy to be is, this is just a regular small-town kid who worked his ass off to try to do big things.
You know, I think that's so cool, man, because, you know, it's like, I love this sport, and you could tell you truly do, too. I do this show because, as I told you before we went live, because you brought it up, and it's for you guys. I'm not the greatest interviewer in the world. I never claimed to be. But it's my way of giving back to the sport, a sport that is given to me for 25 years. I don't make a dime doing this show. This is a show for the fighters. You know, my questions are off topic sometimes. They get a little deep. They may get a little emotional. But that's what the people need to hear. They need to understand who the fighter is. But I think you came on my show tonight and you showed a true side of Dakota Cochran that I really appreciate, and I think most of my fans do too. You know, we're going to be bringing Derek Minner on here in a minute. But if you had to say something to Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, you know, Dave Feldman, Nate Shook, and the rest of the crew, about how grateful you were for this last opportunity and how forward you were to looking to the next, what statement would that be?
I've told him, I've already messaged him and told him that I'm very thankful for, you know, getting me on that card, because they're wanting to put me on later on or in the beginning of 2021. So, but they kept telling me he was going to get me on. So he's like, I'm going to be a man of my word and I'm get you on this card. So that, I appreciate that 100%, like more than 100%. Makes for a greater Christmas and time for my family, and, you know, getting them some presents, and allows me to spend more time and with them, like during Christmas time, instead of working so much to try to provide. So time with my family is awesome, and I appreciate everything. And let me know when my next fight is, because I'm gonna be ready and ready to take over. I want that belt.
I love it. Yeah, because see, the reason why I asked that is because so many people, because your fan base is huge, but people are like, Dana, when are you gonna call him? Dana, when are you? But I think you should stay in Bare Knuckle. That's entirely up to you. I think you truly found your calling, and you did a hell of a job last week. You know, opportunities are few and far between. They called on you. You came up. You showed the world what Dakota Cochran's about. And that was a righteous fight. Did you at least get fight of the night, homie?
I haven't heard of who, if anybody's got fight of the night or anything yet.
Man, I hope it's you, because that was pretty dope. I mean, I gotta admit, like I said, you know, I had to share it with my buddy in Canada, because it was like, bro, you gotta see this. And, I mean, it was just, I don't know, maybe it was just more of a special moment for me than it was for you. But, bro, it's always an honor. I'm gonna have you stay on the show, but I'm gonna let you do your sponsors right now, but I'm gonna have you stay on this, you know, the show just for a minute. And then I'll bring Derek on, and we'll have a few words, and then I'll let you go if you don't mind. But for right now, I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, friends, or family, social media sites, or just anything you want to add to the program, brother, the floor is yours.
I appreciate it. Yeah, just want to highlight a couple bigger sponsors, Twin J Transportation, and Dynamic Fastener, Big Brain. Those guys, like I said, those are probably my bigger sponsors that help me a little bit more than others. So I'll give them a special shout out. And I hadn't thanked my wife very much on the pre-fight interviews and everything. So on the after fights, I'm making sure that I thank her and everything she does. And she's my rock when I lose or when I win. She's my number one fan, and that's the first thing I look forward to after the fight, is calling her and seeing her reaction. So that's about all I have for that.
You know, where can my fans find you on social media, brother?
I'm on Instagram, Dakota Cochran. I'm on Twitter, Dakota Cochran. And then Facebook, Dakota Cochran fan page. And if you want to check out my business and build decks, Husker Deck and Patio. That's on Snapchat too, but we'll just stick with Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Oh, most definitely. You know, to the fans of the Philippines, give that young man a follow. You won't regret it. Look, his fight's up tremendous. Hold the line, bro, and we're going to go ahead and give Derek a call. I usually like to do shit like this, so we're going to go ahead and make it happen.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Derek, what's up, what, man?
I just listened to you and Dakota being a suck-ass to his wife. That was it. He just likes being babied because she's so nice. She's like, oh, honey, you did so good. Okay, I'm just clowning. What's up, man?
I love it. That's why you got to make special moments like this happen, because it ain't going to happen nowhere else. You know, you both have been around each other forever. You know, Dakota, what did it mean? What does it mean for you, especially this last fight, to have someone like Derek in your corner?
Well, I feel honored, honestly, because out of all the minds I know in MMA or in fighting, I know Derek truly cares how I'm going to do, and he truly cares about me personally, and he's a student of the game since the beginning. So his coach, he's such a great coach. Whenever he's done fighting, like, he can make it coaching anywhere because his knowledge of the game is improved, and it's so crazy how good he is. I can't express that enough. He's super talented, and he goes to people who know even more than him, and he learns from them. So he's just a student of the game. He's going to be better and better all, you know, his whole life.
Yeah, sing it for me. I love it.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, Derek, you've been around. You know Dakota, you know, quite well. How good of is it to be in the corner and to see your friend perform as you did at the BKFC 15, and what did it mean for you to play a role in that, bro?
Man, watching Dakota perform all the time is fun, man, whether you're a fan or I just get the front row seat to watch him freaking throw hammers, and then, you know, that's about it, man. I love watching the guy perform. I mean, he's one of the best in the world, you know, especially in that sport. He is the best in the world, and he's the face of bare knuckle boxing. And in MMA, you know, he's the best unsigned prospect in the world, you know, even though I do kick his ass every day in the hotel or whatever, you know. Yeah, it's definitely awesome, man. I love being in the corner, have traveling, you know. That's you know, you always have that one guy that's always in your corner no matter what, and I, you know, he's in my corner every fight, and I'm in his corner every fight. That's just the way it rolls, you know. You have the people you feel comfortable with and the people that truly care about you in your corner, you know, and that's what it's about.
One more question before I let Dakota go and we get on with our interview. Would you say you guys would be where you're at in the sport today if one another wasn't in each other's lives? And I'll start with you, Dakota.
No, hell no. There's been so many times in the gym where, you know, not many people showed up, but as long as Derek showed up, I knew I was going to have some good rounds. So iron sharpens iron. Like Derek said, I'm one of the best. Well, Derek is one of the best in the world, and he's pushed me, and hopefully I've pushed him, and we just make each other better. There's no doubt about that, and there's no doubt that I can be as good as I am without him.
Yeah, on my side, man, I've been through some dark-ass times in this sport. I've been, you know, along with Dakota, I feel like, you know, whether it's in the gym or whether it's in the outside world, you always got to have a guy in your corner that you can talk to, you know, or like fucking cutting weight to push through that last couple pounds or, you know, whatever. You know, if you don't have those guys, and, you know, there's not very many guys that will drop everything and come to help you get ready or cut the weight or travel with you and whatever, you know. And like you said, there's been lots of times where it's been only three or four of us in the gym. Well, you know, and that's okay, because I feel like we're two of the best in the world, and I feel like we're going to continue to show that. So, yeah, it's awesome, the friendships, the brotherhoods you gain in this sport, you know.
It truly is. Dakota, I appreciate you for coming on the show, brother. I'm indebted. You know, each and every time you come on, you share you. That's all I can ask, homie, but I appreciate it, man. I look forward to the next time when you get your next fight. We'll hook up. We'll have you back on the show. And we'll share you with the world again, bro.
Awesome, man. I appreciate your time, too, and make sure you keep getting healthy.
I'm trying, brother. Thank you, man. God bless you.
We'll
talk later, homie. All right, peace. Derek, my man.
What's up? What's up?
Trying to get through this crap, man. I've been sick forever, but you know, you changed Dakota. You mean so much to him. And then I know what James Krause means to you. And we talk about relationships. You heard me talk about it with Dakota. Would you say that the relationships, I'll ask you the same as I did him, the relationships in the sport is truly what keeps you here and has given you a more of a defined aspect in life?
Yeah, man, you know what? Like, the only people that are in my life probably are, you know, that are a lot, that are my friends, and the people that I hang around, the people that I surround myself with are like-minded people and people that I look up to. And, you know, a lot of them are become friends and mentors of the game. And, you know, this game, people don't see that aspect of it, like you said. And I've honestly, I don't know where in the hell I would be in my life if I didn't discover MMA 12 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like it's all in the relationships that have came and gone, and that's how you build it as a person, and especially in this sport. But it's a brutal sport. You got to have those people around.
You know, God, I loved your fight with Laramie, but that was a couple months ago. When can we expect to see you back in the octagon, homie? Man, I'm dying to see you back up in there.
Man, I got a date. I got a person. I'm just waiting for the bout agreement, but end of February, my man, end of February.
Right on. Yeah, you know, because it's like with the whole 2020 thing, it's like everybody's streaming fights, everybody's this. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, after shooting this fight world for 25 years, I am very selective. People think I watch fights all the time. I don't. I see a fighter that I like. If they're fighting on the card, I tune in, I check them out, I bounce back out. But, man, you're an inspiration to the sport. You know, you've helped Dakota and many others, and I know they've helped you back. And I know James Krause has been there. But who has been the true mentor in your walk,
man,
the one that has given you that edge?
Man, honestly, you know, like, on that level, bro, like, as a mentor in life and a mentor in the sport and shit, you know, I always, you know, my manager trained from DC Management, bro. Like, he's one of my best friends, and like, he's held me through a lot of dark times, man, that not anybody knows about, not anybody, you know, whatever, you know, whether it's getting me up on a fight or getting me to cut the weight or, you know, whatever, you know, he's been like, you know, that guy for me when it comes to that. And then, like guys like Joe Ellenberger, like you were saying, you know, the guys that the older guy generation, Ryan Jensen's, the guys like that, that have mentored me along the way. But the guy that's been there every step of the way, you know, a guy, Dakota's one of them. Train, my manager, he's been huge, man. There's a lot of dark places I've been that dude's helped me out of, whether it's life or the sport.
Well, you know, I've had Jared Gordon on my show, and he just won a world title. I think it was in CFSC. And he said, bro, I don't want to talk about my belt. And it caught me off guard. I said, well, what do you want to talk about, homie? He said, ask me where I was 18 months ago. So I did. And he told me, he says, I was on heroin. I was addicted to crack. And I was in rehab. He says, you want to know why I'm telling you this story? Of course I did. And he said, because I want people to realize that no matter how far you are down in life, that you can always find your way up. But not only that, but you can still live your dreams. What moment in the sport has truly defined Derek Minner?
Man, there's so many, bro. There's so many moments in this fight game that have changed my life dramatically, and, you know, gave me who I was, and I can't really, man, I'm trying to think of one specific time, you know. Probably, you know, honestly, I was ready to hang it up right after the Contender Series loss, but, you know, the defining moment was, you know, getting a call, getting a train saying, hey, we got this fight offer, what do you think? And it was like, you know, whatever, and we decided to just go with it, man, and just see what happens, you know, and we did. We got that win, but I still wasn't motivated. We took that fight with DeBray, wasn't motivated, and then the defining moment in my career, the resurgence, was in the UFC call, you know. That was one moment, and then probably another one that sticks out was probably, again, you know, I've been in this sport a long time. Like, I got a fight offer to fight Clay Collard on 4 days, 5 days notice in Vegas, up a weight class. He's a UFC vet. I hadn't been training at all. And we talked about it, and Train was like, nah, man, we're not taking it. We're not doing this. Well, I had convinced him, you know. I was like, look, man, these are the fine, you know, these are the moments in our career. Sometimes, you know, I specifically said, sometimes you got to strap on the gloves and say, fuck it, and let's go, you know. And that was huge, man, going and doing that on 4 days notice, being that type of fighter. And, you know, them are two of the scenarios that I would like to probably point out. There's a lot as a younger kid, but recently in the last 4 or 5 years, them were two as defining me as a fighter.
You know, write them down, bro, because when you get to be 56 like me, you start forgetting shit.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them, bro.
You know, it's like people ask me all the time, you know, what would you say has been your biggest takeaway or your defining moment in the sport? I don't know yet. I haven't had it. You know, I've interviewed some of the greatest that have ever stepped in the octagon or on a mat. Hell, I made Daniel Cormier cry on my show. And it's not about that. The show's never been about me, like I told Dakota. It's not about me. It never will be, and it'll never be for me. It's for the fighters. And I think you guys deserve a place where you can go and not be asked the same bullshit for 2 hours straight by 30 different reporters. You You know, I believe people have a right to see the other side of who you are. Now, I know you have a special relationship with James Krause. You know, I'll be honest, he's one professor because he is a professor in jiu-jitsu, and he's a UFC fighter that when I stand next to him, you kind of get this aura, this, I don't know, this weird, it's not weird, but like this mentor vibe from him. What has James Krause added to your life, Derek?
Yeah, man, that's the thing, man. I've been looking for that, for James Krause to add to my game and my life for a long time. You know, I've never really had that coach that really was a mentor in life, that really cared about his fighters, really cared about what you're doing, you know, when you're, you know, how you're doing as a fighter, how you're doing as a person. I feel like that's what he's added to, you know, that part that I was missing, you know. Like, I feel like the last, like, what have I spent with him? I've fought 5 months. It's just, you know, I feel like he actually gives a shit, and that's just different. You know, he cares about you as a person, and it's good to have that type of coach that you can look up to instead of, you know, he's more of a mentor type of fellow, you know. And it's been awesome. You know, we're building relationship as a, you know, as a coach and a fighter, and, you know, it's only going to get stronger as we keep winning more fights, you know?
Yeah, I have to agree with you, man, because, you know what, I'm old enough to be James' dad, but it's like the first few times I was like, man, why am I nervous to even talk to him? You know, I've been in this sport half my freaking life. And it's just like, I think it's because if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask James Krause, because if you ask him, he's going to tell you the truth.
And yeah, that's one thing. Sorry to interrupt, but that's one thing, man. A lot of people in this sport surround themselves with yes men. And I'm just, and when you go get a guy like James Krause in your life, you're not surrounded by yes men, and that's where you need to be a world champion.
Oh, yeah. You know, the fight game creates and invokes us and every fighter differently. It defines us differently, and it creates a different path for each and every one of us. How grateful is Derek Minner to, you know, as a man to get this type of opportunity and to be able to live this style of life and create yourself each and every time you step into the octagon?
Yeah, man, that's the thing. I'm super grateful for the opportunities that's presented itself, because, as we know, you know, not a lot of people get an opportunity to fight at the pinnacle of the sport and showcase their skill at that point when they're 35 pro fights in, you know. And I feel – and I appreciate it more, and I'm more grateful than I can guarantee you the whole UFC roster to get the opportunity. You know, you got these guys that are young bucks that are 7-0, 7-1, 7-2, whatever they are. They'll never understand how grateful a guy like me is to get the opportunity, and that the shit that we've been through in the last 10, 12 years of getting to that point. You know, they've only been in the sport a couple of years. So it's a humbling type of thing. You know, you finally get there, you all your hard work is paid off. You know, I spent 10 years getting to that. It's just definitely grateful for that type of stuff.
Yeah, I get it. You know, because Zach Cummings is a tremendous brother of mine. I've known him since he was a young man. And he doesn't get that many opportunities to fight. He doesn't get the recognition that he gets in the sport. And you talk about these young and up-and-coming fighters, you know, some that are 6 or 7-0, and they're getting all the fights. When you got guys like you and Zach and many others that have put the blood, sweat, and tears in. You know, but you're grateful for each and every fight that you get. But do you feel that's a a fair aspect, because one fighter brings theatrics when you have a fighter like you that just wants to give the crowd a great show, show the world what you're capable of doing. Do you feel that there's an indifference there?
Man, I mean, it's a sport that needs followers and viewers, and they're gonna put those guys on there. But the problem is with that is they like to try to get these young bucks that are got all this talent, all this upbringing, and all this, you know, whatever. But then the problem is they end up feeding them to guys like us, and then you see what happens. You know what I mean? Like that's just the way it happens. You know, like. I don't know about how fair it is or whatever. Like I don't care about that. Like I'll take on all the hype trains, man. That's one thing that I'm down with. You know, all these guys coming off the Contender Series, all these guys that are gifted opportunities. Like I'm down with it. You know, so.
You know, you talk about you've been through it and you've had your dark times, and you know those are the things that create and make us. You know, I see a fighter in you that is hungry, a man that really just wants to exist in this sport and give it 110. And I respect that. You know, let's say you walk into a gym in the morning, bro. You're the first one there. You turn the lights on and you get a reflection of yourself in the mirror or the glass wall. Who does Derek Minner see?
Man, somebody that had to earn everything he's got, you know? Like, that's the way it comes. I don't come from sunshine and rainbows, you know what I'm saying? So I've had to earn every chance, every opportunity. Everything I've ever done has been on me, you know? I've never... Like, when it comes down to it, I'm not supposed to be here, you know. I'm not supposed to be at the pinnacle of the sport. I'm supposed to be sitting in my small town working at a factory and, you know, maybe have a job, you know. Like, I'm not supposed to be doing what I am. So that's what I feel like, you know. Like, I did it all. What I did has been on me, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of, like, a hard work driven, you know. Once I put my mind to something, we get it done, so.
I could just a couple more questions, bro, and I know it's getting late. But I always ask these questions because I want to prove to the sport. And I brought it up in Dakota's interview. But, you know, you train with James Krause and Grant Michael Dawson. You know, I think James Krause put it best when somebody asked him, what does it feel like to be 22-7? And he said, I'm not 22-7. I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. You know, what's it like for you and your terminology so the world would get a greater understanding? You know, because you were taught a lesson by Grant Dawson, but yet you guys are on the same team in the same corner in certain aspects. You know, what was contrived out of that fight with Grant and created into a relationship moving forward in the sport?
Man, you know, I could go along with saying that I just always have known how good James Krause was and what he could do for fighters. And, you know, I took that fight on 8 days notice, got in the UFC, and, you know, some of the, I mean, you know, that I just wanted to train with the guy.
Not to cut you off, but what I was getting at, and I apologize if I didn't clarify it good enough, was the relationship aspect that was created after that fight. And the intent I was trying to imply is when you go to war with somebody, you can't help but respect them or become a brother of theirs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for that, sure.
Yeah, that's what happened between you and Grant, right?
Man, yeah, for sure. I mean, you learn, you know, I mean, it happened once I joined the team, obviously, that we became friends and stuff. you know, it happened to me when I was an amateur, you know, the guy that I started a business with, you know, I fought him. I trained with him after that. That's happened to me a lot, you know. I just build relationships with, you can't help to respect people that you stand across the cage from, no matter win or lose or draw, you know. It's just a matter of respect, and that's what this sport's about, is, you know, getting in there. You might not like each other at first, but you'll earn each other's respect once the fight's over with, you know.
So February, huh? Oh, I can't wait, homie. I really can't wait. Your last.
Yeah, man, it's a fun one, brother.
Oh God, yeah. See, I'm more stoked. Oh, just pre-book me for February, and it'll all be fight talk.
Yeah, oh, buddy, man, let's go.
I love your style, man. You know, and you know what it's like. It's refreshing to see somebody who really loves what they do, and not just be there to collect a paycheck. You truly love to do what you do, and that's tremendous. You know, you helped Dakota Cochran out. You guys have all just made this tremendous brotherhood that has really pushed all of you forward. And
sure. It's
great to see in the sport, because I want people to realize that this sport isn't barbaric. I mean, it is barbaric in some aspects, but relationships is the major takeaway. Moving forward is the major takeaway. You know,
sure.
James is a great fighter. He's going to teach you a lot, and others will come in your life and instill many things in you, and you got a long way to go. I just can't wait till February. That's almost too long for me. But
this is too long for me, man. I've never had this long. I've never, my whole career, bro, I've never had 12 weeks or whatever to, like, get in shape. You know, I'm already in shape, but to plan a camp and all that stuff, usually it's, I'm telling my girlfriend, all right, well, I got to leave Monday. Let's figure it out with the kids, because I got 3 weeks until my next fight, you know. So this is something new. This is something new, man. I'm excited to see what I can do with a full 8-week camp, you know, under James Krause. So it's gonna be a whole new fighter, man. I'm so excited.
Oh yeah, I'm pumped with you, bro. You know, we talked about it. 2020 is just, and I don't care if they bleep me out on radio, but 2020 has just been a fucked up year. I'll say it like it is. You know, it's made all of us that much stronger. It's
man, yes. For sure, man. 2020 has been messed up as hell, but, you know, for me, it hasn't really been all that bad. You know, I've got a UFC debut. I had a daughter. You know, I got my first win in the UFC. So, you know, can't complain too much.
No, bro, you're living large, and that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, when this shit first hit, I got 3 months worth of work gone in the blink of an eye. My old lady was laid off the next day. And
oh, shit.
I was like, holy fuck. But here we are, what, 9-10 months later? And, yeah, I got some health issues going on, but I still got life. And
yeah.
I'm better off than I thought I would be. You know, I just hope the country can pick back up and the sport can get back into full swing, because I can't be waiting every 6 months to see you fight, bro. That shit just ain't gonna work.
Let's get. I'm trying to get at least 4 in this year.
Yeah. You hear that, Dana White, Sean Shelby?
Let's
get
go.
Get this mess more fights. Yeah.
I'll take 5 or 6. I'll take 5 or 6. You know, I'll stack that money. You never know what's gonna happen. You know, I'm trying to go win some fights and make my name known. You know.
That's why I love you, and I bring you on the show, man, because you tell it like it is. You know, Derek, if you had to make a statement to the UFC fans and the fans around the world, as you heard, we're in dual syndication now in the Philippines on their multiple networks. If you had to let the world know what your thoughts are and what you think about moving forward, the floor is yours, homie.
Man, I think I did that on September 19th, brother. I think I proved that I'm here to stay and that I'm gonna make my mark. You know, I didn't really have too much to say, and I went out there and did what I needed to do to prove a point. You know, that I was a plus 340 underdog. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I knew that whole time going in there. You know, so I made my mark by fighting. I made my point.
Yeah, he did. I think it was, what, 52 seconds?
Yep.
That's what's up, homie. You know, Derek, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Like I said, the show must go on, whether I'm ill or not. Hopefully I gave you a good enough interview. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I respect you. I'm going to pass the mic to you, though. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the show, it's all you, big dog.
Yeah, man, my sponsors, man, there's a list of them, but my bigger sponsor is KW Boring, Russ Jones Law, who else we got there? Twin J, man, let's see. Yeah, man, they know I'm forgetting a bunch of them, but it is what it is. You know, obviously my team's, you know, my girlfriend for putting up with my shit all this time, knowing that I got to bounce out for 6-7 weeks and we got a newborn, you know, she holds down the fort. Yeah, so, you know, and you, my man, thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, it's always my honor, man. I forgot to congratulate you on the baby. I don't know if I did the last show, but hey, this is the last time,
man.
I'm going to have you on in 2020.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I feel very fortunate. You know, is there anything you'd like to say to my fans on your way to 2020? Because they won't hear you until 2021.
Haha, just stay woke, my man. Stay woke. Let's get this win in February. You know, let's pass that 2020 out the door and let's bring in a new year with a bang. You know.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Derek. I truly appreciate you, man. You have a Merry Christmas. Congratulations on the brand new baby and having such a tremendous family and walk in life. I truly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing who you are. You're just awesome, bro. I can't wait till February.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you. Hope the health goes well, bro. Get well.
I appreciate that, bro. God bless you. Have a good night.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Peace. Oh, man. I love that kid. For some reason, I thought I'd drop too, but I didn't. Show wasn't 100 tonight, but, hey, compared to where I was last week and the week before, I'm blessed just to be here. On that note, I'll take us out with a little bit of Soul Row Project. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Sitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez, the 86ers with Alfred and Freddie, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouthguards with Joe Rice. On that note, here's Soul Rebel Project. Good night, and God bless.
It is this week.